Blog Talk Radio.
From their studio in the Feeding Arizona building in Youngtown, Arizona, it's the Boomer and the Babe Show with Pete Peters and Deborah Brown. Join Pete and Deborah and their guests as they give voice to 78 million baby boomers from coast to coast and border to border. Now here are the Boomer and the Babe, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown.
Hello, everybody. Again, it is the Boomer and the Babe Show, only today, as it has been in many of the past shows, the Boomer Show. Babe is off doing other things with regard to what the Boomer and the Babe Incorporated is involved in. So our separation of tasks seems to be that I do more radio without her and she does more book publishing without me. So that's kind of where we're working our separate ways right now. But we're going to have her back here hopefully in another few days. She'll come back and she's going to bless us with her presence and her dulcet tones. So we look forward to having her back again. As I said, this is the Boomer the Babe Show. It's Tuesday, March 6th, 2012, and we are broadcasting from our studios in the Feeding Arizona complex in Youngtown, home of the Valley View Community Food Bank, where the food is always free. Valley View Community Food Bank is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. Anybody of mind to make donations to a worthy cause, you can always do much, much worse than going to valleyviewcommunityfoodbank.com and making any kind of donation that you see fit to do. Get hold of Jesse Ramirez, founder and executive director of the food bank, and he will be more than happy to indicate to you how you might be able to help in his great cause. And as I said, I'm Pete Peters. I want to remind our listeners that in addition to this radio program, we publish mini books and ebooks. Many of our ebook authors have their own shows here on the Boomer the Babe Network, right here on Blog Talk. We invite you to listen to those as well. We produce videos for your websites. We do some promotional product work, and we consult for small businesses. We are truly a multifaceted multimedia marketing company with our latest new entry into our line of products is Boomer Experience Speaks, an online magazine that comes out monthly. The next one should be out this week, as a matter of fact, and you can sign up for that at boomerandthebabe.com, absolutely free, no charge, and we hope you enjoy reading it. Many of the contributors to our magazine have also been guests on our show. So with that said, and the commercials out of the way, we're going to introduce our guest. This gentleman has developed his own business. He is in the business of helping people eliminate their pain and with something called Jones Strain, Counter Strain. He was the first of a group of practitioners to receive the distinction in August of 2003 and has conducted workshops on strain, counter strain to the Illinois Physical Therapy Association and the Illinois Athletic Trainers Association. And he's also scheduled to conduct a workshop at the upcoming Great Lakes Athletic Trainers Association annual meeting in March, just a week or so away. His name is Kevin Cronin. He is the founder of Advanced Rehabilitation Clinics. And Kevin, welcome to the Boomer and the Babe Show. We're glad to have you as a guest.
Thanks, Pete. I'm glad to be here, too.
Tell us a little bit, if Deborah were here, she would ask you for what she calls your 2-minute movie. In other words, what did Kevin do before you got involved in what you're doing now? And what is your background and your history as far as employment or other businesses you've been involved in? And then we'll get into what you're doing now.
Okay. Yeah, I've been a physical therapist for 30 years, a little over 30 years. And I was 10 years into my career as a physical therapist. Felt that I could help people to a certain extent, but something was missing. I really had the feeling that out of 100 patients that came to see me, I could probably get 75 of them feeling pretty darn good. but something was missing with that other 20 to 25% of the patients that just didn't have the great result that I would like to have gotten with them. And I stumbled in the early 90s, it was 1991, I stumbled upon a continuing education course out in Portland, Oregon. I actually took the course because I wanted to go see Mount St. Helens and go visit some friends out there. But it was a Jones strength counterstrength course. It was one of the first courses that they actually started teaching physical therapists about Dr. Jones's terrific, wonderful technique called strength counterstrength. And I was quite surprised that during the course, Dr. Jones fixed the problem that I had with my hip and lower abdomen, that it forced me to stop playing competitive sports about a year and a half prior to taking this course. And he fixed it right there in the course for me. And the light bulb went off for me. And I thought then that perhaps I had found the missing piece, the missing ingredient for my recipe for success for patients with pain pec problems. And so I spent the rest of that vacation really memorizing and practicing this technique on my friends, and then went and took other courses with Dr. Jones, started helping to teach some of these courses with the Jones Institute, brought it back to my practice here in Chicago, and now we're in a private practice where we are really the only private practice in the Chicago area where everyone who works, all the therapists who work in this practice, have to be well-trained and proficient in this technique because it is such an important part. It's not the only thing, but it's a very, very important part of helping patients with chronic pain.
So is what you do is your clinic, is it any way related to or is it considered to be chiropractic?
No, not at all. We're an outpatient, strictly outpatient orthopedic physical therapy clinic. We treat, we treat all kinds of problems with chronic pain, fibromyalgia, neck and back pain, sports injuries, arthritis, headaches, and a lot more. But it's strictly physical therapy, and we're licensed, all licensed physical therapists. And I think the difference between chiropractic and physical therapy is somewhat philosophical in some respects. Physical therapists in general tend to have the philosophy that we want to try and help the patient feel better, get better, and then teach them how to self-manage so that they don't have to come see us as often. Most chiropractic training, just like with acupuncture, it's something that they believe it's something that you do need to have on a somewhat regular basis. And I wouldn't disagree with that. I think I go see my chiropractor every once in a while myself.
But yours, once you're done with your procedures with folks, then they pretty much go on their own because they are rehabilitated to the point where they can then manage their own situation. Is that an
right? That's the goal. That's the goal. We try with all patients is to try and teach them self-management and get them to the point where they can self-manage their problem. Some patients with really severe chronic pain, they'll fall off the wagon, somewhat regularly, and those patients do have to come in maybe a couple times a month or once every few months for a few visits, that type of thing, kind of like for a tune-up. Because a lot of these people have had surgical procedures. They've had, years and years of chronic pain issues. They may have structural issues, in their spine and in their joints that will cause problems to arise. And in those cases, then they will have to come back. But if there's no, the thing that's great about strain counter strain is it's an evaluation and treatment technique, both. And if you clear out all the tight, painful muscle problems that are existing with strain counter strain, if there's no underlying pathology like a big bulging disc or a torn rotator cuff muscle or something like that, severe degenerative arthritis that's existing, there's no reason why that person can't get back to 100% and stay there.
When I think of physical therapy, I think of somebody that's had knee surgery, and you see them working with, mm-hmm. Strapped into a machine, the machine is manipulating their leg, and then they're trying to walk on it again at bare weight, and so on and so forth. That's what I think of as physical therapy. Is there any element of that involved in what you do?
Sure, there is some, and I mean the origin of physical therapy were really in the polio epidemic, and so there's a lot of there's a lot of treatment for people with neurological diseases, for kids, pediatric. You know, there's physical therapists who specialize in neurological, specialize in pediatric treatments for kids. Our specialty is really outpatient orthopedic chronic pain and spine. So physical therapists can specialize in different areas. We do a lot of hands-on type of technique. Physical therapy isn't just exercise. At least we don't think it should be just exercise. Skilled, hands-on treatment is really what I think makes the difference for that 20-25% of the patients who don't get better just with exercise. And that's really where we found our niche, was with those patients who didn't fit the standard model. If they, that 20% of the population that's responsible for over 90% of the healthcare costs, those folks are the ones who need a little bit of extra help, and that's where the skilled hands-on techniques come in, and that's what can make a difference for those people.
So you don't do adjustments because you're not chiropractic.
Correct.
Is there, and you don't do acupuncture because that's just something you don't do as part of your practice.
Right.
Are you involved in massage, deep tissue massage, and things like that as well?
We do some. There are massage therapists who work in the practice if someone wants to, either deep tissue or Swedish type massage. We do some of the manual techniques that we employ for patients are deeper, some fascial, type of techniques that work on the deeper tissue or the tissue that ligaments and rotator cuffs and, capsules of joints, that type of thing. So we do some of that. It's not really a massage. And those are the techniques to help to get the joints moving again and to loosen up some of the tight tissues. The strain counter strain really works on specifically on muscles that are tight and tender, and all your muscles have little tiny receptors in them called muscle spindles, thousands of them. You can have as many up to 250 per gram of muscle tissue. So that's a lot. In a 1 ounce muscle, 28 grams times 250, you got 7,000 muscle spindles. So there's a lot of muscle spindles in all of our skeletal muscles that hold our body together. And these spindles can sometimes be aggravated to the point where they start to send out a signal to the muscle to contract, to tighten. We're not even aware of it half the time, other than that if it gets to the point where enough of these spindles in the muscle are abnormal, where they're sending out this incorrect signal, the muscle gets tight and tender to touch, and it will limit or restrict your movement. Like you won't be able to turn your head, or you won't be able to lift your shoulder up as high, and it'll be painful when you get to the end of the range. What strain counter strain does is reset those little tiny receptors and
so,
get the muscle to relax.
So if anybody that's played any kind of sports at all at some point has had either a strained quadricep muscle or a pulled or possibly torn hamstring, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the typical injury that strain counter strain is applicable to?
It can be. I mean, I was just thinking of I'm treating a friend of mine right now who had a chronic recurring hamstring strain, and he did it again playing hockey. This happens to a lot of us boomers. we try to pretend that we're still 28, 30 years old, and he was playing hockey with the kids and strained his hamstring again. And the hamstrings have lots of muscle spindles in them. Part of his treatment was getting rid of that underlying increased tone in the hamstring but with the strange counterstrains technique, because that will help him get better faster. And it's also, if we're getting rid of that underlying increased tone, will also help prevent that hamstring injury from happening again in the future. So we do see some of that, but we also see the, you know, the computer, you know, the person who works at a computer workstation all day, and is, because of that, is straining their neck or their low back, and they can develop increased tone or tight tender muscles from that, which is, you know, from just sitting, and usually it's from sitting, you know, with poor posture, like most of us end up doing if we spend too much time in front of a computer. So it can help any of those kind of people. Really, anyone experiencing any kind of pain probably has some what we call muscle dysfunction.
I, as you were starting to say that, I was feeling a twinge in my neck, as a matter of fact. Because I'm in front of the computer an awful lot. I really am. So when the person comes out of surgery, I mean, are they typical candidates for you as well?
Yes. Yeah, there's actually a whole different set of smooth muscle dysfunctions that can also occur, like in your the smooth muscle that's in the fascia all over the body. That's the connective tissue in the body, or in the in the lymphatic systems. You know the lymph nodes have these tubules that connect the lymph nodes, and that the tubules have muscle in them that help to pump the lymph fluid, which is kind of like your toxic waste system in your body. And even that smooth muscle can become contracted, can go into spasm. And that can have pretty extensive effect on your comfort level and the range of motion that you have. And so that can be treated as well. And usually, a lot of times, a smooth muscle is related directly to postural strain. That's one of the main causes of it. So poor posture, you know, is working bent over, that type of thing, can be the cause of it. But trauma can also be the cause. You know, car accidents, lifting too heavy, you know, slipping and falling, you know, on a wet pavement, that type of thing. All those things can lead to muscle dysfunction, which really needs to be addressed if that injury is going to recover completely.
Now, you mentioned there's smooth muscles. What other if there's smooth muscles, it indicates to me that there must be some other types of muscle in the body that's not smooth.
You've got basically two types of muscle. Smooth muscle is like the muscle inside your digestive tract that helps to, it just moves on a regular basis, pumps on a regular basis to move things along to the digestive tract. And skeletal muscle is what we all know is, you know, we see the charts with the muscles on them and our biceps and triceps and quadriceps and hamstrings. You know, those are all skeletal muscles. The skeletal muscles are the ones that have the muscle spindles in them. And that's where classical strain counterstrain developed from, was treating dysfunction in those skeletal muscles. There's also a whole new brand of strain counterstrain that's developed just in the last few years, the last 5 years or so, that addresses smooth muscle spasm in and around the fascia and the lymphatic systems. And we found that to be very, very helpful, especially for chronic pain issues.
Is it safe to say that a smooth muscle is an involuntary muscle, that it's working on?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you really have no control, no volitional control over. You can't make your, you know, it's difficult to make your stomach or your the smooth muscle in your intestinal tract contract. So you're right. That's correct. They're involuntary.
Okay. Now let's talk a little bit more about strain counterstrain itself. The name to me indicates that it's a combating one against the other type situation.
Right, correct.
Does that make sense?
No, that's absolutely, and that's where you got the name from. You have a strain to a muscle, which ends up causing that muscle to contract. And that's part of your—it's part of your stretch reflex. So it's like it's a—it's an aberrant stretch reflex. It's a reflex, stretch reflex gone bad, so to speak. And then that muscle is getting a message to contract 24/7. So that muscle is just tight, and that tightness can pull joints out of alignment, you know, that type of thing, and cause pain and restrictive range of motion. And so that what the counter strain that you apply is to usually shorten that muscle, position the body part so that that muscle gets becomes optimally shortened. Not necessarily maximally shortened, but optimally shortened so that the muscle relaxes and the tenderness, when you push on the muscle, goes away. That's usually the treatment position for strain counter strain. So you're providing a counter strain to that strained muscle. You're shortening it, taking all the strain off of it. And if you just leave it there for 90 seconds, those muscle spindles will reset themselves. And so you're resetting these muscle spindles, these little receptors in the muscle, and then they'll stop sending that signal to the muscle to tighten or to contract, and the muscle will relax. You can shorten that time frame, that 90 seconds, down to a few seconds, anywhere from like 3 to 15 seconds, by getting what we call an antagonistic contraction. So that would be getting the opposite muscle, the muscle that does the opposite movement, to slightly contract. And then the nervous system will shut off and reset those muscle spindles much more quickly, like 10 to 15 seconds at the most.
Maybe this is kind of what you're talking about as far as the stress or the strain of the muscle pulling a joint out of alignment, I guess, for lack of a better word. Years ago, I was having some pretty severe back pain, lower back.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to doctors, and one doctor says, you need to have back surgery. And I went, well, we're not going there. And then I went somewhere else. I don't remember what it was. And I ended up going to a place when I lived in San Diego. It was the Pete Egoscue Clinic. And Pete Egoscue had formerly been a trainer for the San Diego Chargers.
Okay.
And he had worked on we're going back, we're showing you how old I am now. He had worked on Jack Nicklaus's knee or hip after he had some surgery. He had worked on Ralph Sampson, the basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
And he had quite a list of well known athletes that his technique had been supposedly been effective on. And I happened in there because I was looking for new clients for what I was doing at the time, and I walked in. And when I walked in, I was in a brace. I was in one of those corsets. I mean,
yeah.
I was just all cinched up. And the guy says, "What is wrong with you?" And I said, "Well, I got this back issue." But I wasn't even thinking of putting it. He says, "If you've got an hour right now, I can take care of that." And I went, "Really?" I said, "I'll make it." You know, he lays me down on the floor, puts my legs up over a medicine ball, puts a weight on my stomach, and has me concentrate on my breathing so that he could relax the muscles in my stomach, which he said was pulling the spine out of order, out of alignment. Then he had me do something called a gravity drop. At a staircase with just my toes on the steps and gradually, not forcing, but gradually trying to relax so that my back, my hamstrings, my calves, and into the small of my back, I could feel it stretching and coming, relaxing and coming apart.
Okay.
And then the other thing he did is he had me do that old training regimen for when you're going skiing, when you're getting yourself skiing, you form a chair against the wall. And he says, and what that did, he says, that was relieving, or that was firing my quadricep muscles, which in turn would make my leg kick straight out when I walked, and it would cause this alignment. So, I mean, it sounds as though there's a certain element of what you do, he was doing way back then.
Yeah, because he was positioning. Yeah, he was using positioning and muscle contraction to try and correct the alignment problem. Yeah, that does sound like there are some elements similar to strain counter strain.
Well, I know is to this day when I'm out playing golf, and if my back starts to tighten up a little bit, I do a gravity drop off the side of the golf cart. It'd probably be better if I was walking, but that's another story. but I'll do a gravity drop off hanging off the side of a golf cart. People say, "What are you doing?" I says, "I'm going to hit the ball farther now."
That's funny.
But nonetheless, I can. It works. I mean,
before you know it, you have them all doing it, right?
Oh yeah, I got everybody sitting around there going, "Wow, let's try this." But it's amazing. So I mean, I think I have a basic understanding of what you're talking about when you're talking about the firing of one muscle to help relieve the other. There's also something that I remember from the past called dynamic tension. That was something that was really big at one point, I thought, as far as weightlifters were concerned. Instead of working with weights, they were saying you could build your muscles with dynamic tension.
Well, a lot of that might have been, isometrics. They were doing a lot of, there was a device called a bull worker at one time that you would contract or pull on the device, either push or pull on the device. I think it had cords on it, and it also, you could also compress it, kind of like a piston. It was like a pneumatic device, and so you could push it or pull on it and get an isometric contraction, and the isometrics help to build. Isometrics do help to build muscle bulk or muscle strength quickly. Because strength is size when it comes to muscle. And the only downside to doing isometrics is you got to make sure you breathe. If you hold your breath, then you're increasing your blood pressure. But otherwise, I think that's where the dynamic tension came from.
I remember
having one of those. When I was a kid, my brother had one of those when we were kids.
Well, the dynamic tension that I'm thinking of, it did not have any kind of an apparatus at all. It was
okay.
For instance, if you think of a weightlifter that is posing, and you're placing one muscle in opposition to the next. In other words, your bicep in opposition to your tricep, and you're forcing one. You're trying to pull your arm up, and your other muscle is pulling it back, and it's just that's the tension.
Oh, okay, yeah, that almost sounds a little like. Like it has some elements of Tai Chi.
I don't know.
Where you're tightening and moving.
Well, maybe Tai Chi is Asian for dynamic tension. I don't know. So anyhow, tell me a little bit more about the practice itself. Now, are you just located in the Chicago area?
Yes. Yeah, we're a relatively small private practice. We've got 6 locations now in and around the Chicago area. And we've been in business since 1996. So we had our 15-year anniversary last year. And we actually, for our 15-year anniversary, we decided to do something to help boomers, especially who have, were hit pretty hard by the economic downturn. And a lot of people lost jobs, lost their insurance. And so we started a program where we would have people submit their stories about why they wish they could have physical therapy and why they needed it and what kind of difficulties they were having getting help. And then we would choose one story a month to have that person come in and treat them for free. And we did it all of last year, and it went so well that we decided to just do it forever. We're just going to keep doing it because there are so many people out there who need help. And we're trying to encourage other private practitioners in the area, physical therapists, chiropractors, to do something similar so that we can help all the folks out there who either lost their jobs or lost their benefits or have benefits that are so expensive they can't afford them.
Right, right. I'm looking through this information that you sent me. I'm seeing here that you, of course, you've mentioned fibromyalgia, chronic. I don't think you mentioned pelvic pain, but neck and back pain, and so on, right. So sports injuries. Now, arthritis is, I find that an interesting situation, because arthritis is actually an inflammation of the joint, correct?
Correct.
And how does your technique help relieve arthritis pain?
That's a good question, Pete. Yeah, no, that's a really good question, because the joints, when they become inflamed and sore because of arthritis, your body will sometimes develop muscle spasm or increased tension as a way to try and protect or kind of secure the joint so it doesn't move a whole lot. And it ends up doing the job. It doesn't move the joint, but it ends up causing a lot of increased pain. And so with those folks, the strain counter strain isn't going to help the arthritis. But what we can do for those people is that we can teach them, because a lot of times if you've got a chronic problem like that, your body is going to develop the same pattern of muscle spasm around that joint almost every time. And so what can happen is we will treat out the muscle spasm that's there and then teach the patient how to treat the two or three points that always come back first. So we'll teach them how to find them and how to treat them themselves, if at all possible, so that they can then manage that problem, which goes back to our philosophy of we want to teach people how to manage, self-manage their care. Yeah, because the treatment itself is not going to get rid of the arthritis. That's a whole nother systemic and joint issue that that we don't particularly address, can't really address with it, with strain counter strain.
Right, right. Well, I'm beginning to understand exactly what you're saying here, because I am relating it as I'm listening to you. I'm relating it to my own situation, particularly with the back issue that I had, which fortunately I don't have it per se anymore. I also had occasion to go to a chiropractor for that back. I think everybody has gone to a chiropractor at some point for something like that. And this chiropractor, in essence, was doing a massage of my abdomen, very deep massage of my abdomen and the muscles of my abdomen. And his thing was, he's trying to get them to relax and to release my back.
Correct.
Now,
yes, go ahead.
It turns out that that's what Peter Gaskew was doing also, only he
exactly.
was with breathing exercises and so on.
Right.
So, I mean, the two were definitely in direct correlation with one another.
Yeah, and it's something similar to what we would do with chronic, diffuse low back pain too, or just diffuse low back pain period, is you look at those muscles, the hip flexor muscles, because they do attach directly to the spine. And they're very often implicated in low back problems. And so our technique would relax them with this 15-second technique to try and get that muscle to loosen up and let go so it stops pulling on the spine like that.
It was also explained to me, and maybe you can, not that I'm doubting what this man said, but I mean you could verify it and maybe explain a little bit about it. He said that in your spine, there are all kinds of tiny little muscles, just all kinds of tiny little muscles. And the tiny little muscles are just as apt to be causing problems as the major muscles that are pulling, as he was indicating, with my hip flexors and my abdominal muscles.
Right, absolutely.
And he said that the key was not only to get the big muscles to relax so the spine would go back into its normal alignment, but also to get the small muscles to relax.
Correct.
So that they would not be continued to pull the spine in the wrong direction, even though the big muscles may be relaxing.
Right. Now, again, there's hundreds of, you've got 33 vertebrae, and you've got literally hundreds of tiny little muscles that attach at different angles to the spine. And when those muscles, if those muscles become tight and tender, if those muscle spindles are sending a signal for that muscle to contract, it's going to pull that joint a little bit offline, a little bit out of alignment. And getting that muscle to relax is exactly what we do with strain counterstrain. You know, and a lot of times you can get that joint to go back with a chiropractic adjustment, but if you don't change if the underlying message that the muscle is sending doesn't change, it's just going to pull it back out again. And getting those muscles to relax and to stay relaxed is really the key to starting to recover. You know, then of course you've got to still retrain those muscles and strengthen them so that they stop doing that. So they stop tightening up.
Because one little muscle pulling this way will affect another muscle pulling the other way, and it just becomes a house of cards, if you will. I mean,
it is. Yeah, your spine is like a stack of bricks, and they're supposed to be stacked straight up on top of each other. And most of us aren't like that. You know, it looks more like a crooked stack of bricks.
Right. Now, how do you physically do that? I mean, if you're not doing adjustments, i.e., chiropractic, and you're not doing massage per se, what is the technique like?
So I could explain. Let's take for example the neck. Let's take for example a person who has limited movement, trying to turn your head to the right. So if you look to the right and try to turn your head that way, and it feels tight and hurts in the neck, in the back of the neck, and it might also hurt, let's say, looking up. That's usually associated with muscles on the front right of the neck that are tight and tender. And if you pushed on that right side of the front of the neck and compared it to the left side of the neck, it would be tighter and more sensitive on that right side of the neck. The treatment for that then, if you're laying down looking up towards the ceiling, would be to gently lift your head, turn the neck to the left, so bring it forward and turn it to the left. So you're going to the opposite direction that's restricted. So you're restricted turning to the right and looking up, and looking up towards the ceiling. So what we're going to do is bring you looking down and to the left. Bring your head into that position until those muscles are completely relaxed and no longer tender. And then once you're in that position, I might ask you to not let me push on the back of your head. And it would be real gentle. You push really gently on the back of the head. You would give me some resistance. That's that counter strain. That's giving me that resistance going backwards. And what that does is it fools the nervous system into shutting off and resetting those muscle spindles quickly. That way I don't have to wait 90 seconds. It'll shut it off in about 10 to 15 seconds. And then when you come back out of that position slowly, and you do got to come out slowly, you don't want to come out too fast. You come out of that position slowly, then that tenderness and that tightness on that front right side of your neck will be reduced significantly. And if that was the problem, if that's what was all that was keeping you from turning and to the right and looking up, then you should be able to turn to the right and look up more comfortably.
Now, how long does that process take? I mean, somebody comes into your office to get to be treated. How long does it take, and how much repetition is involved while they're there?
Yeah, that's a good question, because a lot of it depends on chronicity, how long patients had the problem, whether or not there's any underlying, joint issues that they have to contend with, like arthritis or damage in joints. But typically, if it's just a muscle problem, that's really the problem. Usually half a dozen visits, where you get rid of the muscle spasm, retrain the muscles, give the patient a couple simple exercises. And we're not big fans of, pages and pages of exercises, because if you give you too many of them, you won't do any of them. So we try to keep it simple and give you a couple simple postural and retraining exercises for those muscles that are involved. In some patients, it may take longer. If you've got a chronic pain patients, it can take a few months before we've got them to the point where we can, where we can let them go on their own and manage the problem on their own.
This strain counter strain technique, is that a technique that is really getting to be better known, or is it something that is just an accepted way of doing physical therapy amongst many other modalities? How does it fit into the overall arena?
Right. It's becoming, you know, with the pressure of, you know, from insurance companies and Medicare and just the whole economy, the pressure is coming down on the medical community to find less invasive, less expensive, and more effective ways of dealing with chronic pain issues. And so physical therapists are starting to pay a little more attention to techniques like strain counter strain. Right now, I'd say probably 10% of the physical therapy population in the whole United States it has some kind of training in strain counter strain. In Illinois, where we're located at, there's currently only 3 practitioners who are actually certified in the technique. There's several more who have advanced training in the technique, but there's not a lot. You know, in the Chicago area, I'd say it's less than 10% of the physical therapists, but it's starting to catch on because it works, and that's, you know, that's where we have to, you know, that's kind of where we have to rely on is, does it help the patient? Does it help the patient get a better outcome? And if it's a big part of getting a better outcome and getting a better result, then people are going to start using it more and more. And that's kind of what we're seeing happening right now.
What does it take to become a strain counter strain practitioner? What kind of certifications and how much time is needed?
Yeah, you've got, in order to take, if you're going to take the certification route, if you're going to get certified in strain counter strain, you've got to take the courses. Right now, there's 4 basic courses. And those are, you know, those are 3-day courses that you take, and in between you come back and you use it in the practice. And you've got to practice using strain counter strain for about 2 years minimum before they'll allow you to sit for the exam. And if you know your stuff and you know what you're doing, you know the techniques and you can get results with it, then you sit for a 2-day pretty intensive exam. It's both written, but a lot of oral and a lot of practical. So you actually have to show them, the testers, you have to show them that you know what you're doing and that you know, and that you can actually get results, because you end up treating them or someone else who's, you know, who's in the class, because you can find these kind of dysfunctions on almost anybody. Those of us who don't go and seek treatment just don't have enough of it where it's really causing a problem, but you can find these kind of muscle dysfunctions on just about anybody. When I teach courses for physical therapists here in Illinois, we don't have any problem finding it on each other. Most active people who do a lot of computer work or a lot of manual labor, you know, physical therapy is pretty physically demanding type of profession. You can find these kind of dysfunctions on almost anybody like that.
You can probably find them on the physical therapists themselves.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we do. I don't have any problem finding them on the people I teach the technique to.
Yeah. So this is something then that you have to be a physical therapist, I'm guessing, a licensed physical therapist, to be able to even get into the strain counter strain accreditation program.
No, absolutely not. They're pretty open. It started out, strain counter strain was originally developed by an osteopathic physician, Dr. Larry Jones, back when they started developing it in the 50s. And then by the 70s, the research had caught up with what he was doing so that they could actually explain what he was doing. And they started teaching it in osteopathic schools. They still do teach it in a few, but most osteopaths are more like, you know, regular allopathic physicians now, so they might not do as much hands-on or might not do as much manipulation. And so in the late 80s and early 90s, Dr. Jones started teaching it to physical therapists, massage therapists, basically anybody who wanted to come and learn the technique is welcome. And I've got a couple friends who are massage therapists that I was certified with, there are physical therapy assistants, osteopaths, MDs, you know, who have all taken the course. Right now, they're teaching a lot of healthcare practitioners in Europe the technique. It seems to be really popular in Europe right now. And And so it's not just open to physical therapists. It's open to other healthcare practitioners too. Anyone who wants to learn the technique can come and learn it.
That's interesting, because I mean I do know that out here in the Arizona market, the Phoenix market in particular, that's what I'm most familiar with right now. There are massage therapists all over the place. I mean, there are everybody is trying to be a massage therapist, and they either have their own little studio with the table, or they do chair massage where they try to go and they try to get the contracts with the various companies and businesses around.
Right.
You know, on a regular basis that people enroll. It's massage therapists are a dime a dozen out here, it just seems. I've got some good friends that are massage therapists, and they're good massage therapists as near as I can tell. But I'm just thinking that might be something for some of them to differentiate themselves a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, they could distinguish themselves with that kind of a technique. I encourage the massage therapists I know to learn some of the technique, because then when they run into those areas that are really tight and tender, rather than digging in there and causing more pain, they can alleviate some of that tension and tenderness with strain counter strain techniques. And then the massage, then that allows them to actually get deeper. And the massage can be more effective and more comfortable for the client. So as long as their clients aren't just coming to feel pain, you know, if you're actually coming to feel good with the massage as well, they might be able to get a little bit better result if they can add this as part of their treatment.
Yes, yes. Interesting. So as far as if I or somebody out here in this neck of the woods wanted to avail themselves of this type of treatment, how would they go about finding a practitioner?
The Jones Institute, which is the educational academic institution that promotes strain counter strain and teaches the courses, has a website. It's www.jiscs.com. That stands for Jones Institute Strain Counter Strain.com. So that's the website that you would go on and click on search for practitioner, and you can search anywhere in the United States for all the practitioners in your area. And everyone in the area will come up, and typically they'll list the people who have the most experience first. And you can see which courses, you know, how many courses they've taken, whether or not they're certified. That's probably the best way to find a practitioner in your area. If there are people who are interested in just what does it look like when you treat it, you know, different parts of the body, we have developed several YouTube videos that we've posted on our YouTube site. Is that okay to give you that?
Sure.
The address is, yeah, that's www.youtube.com/ARC physical therapy. And
that's your business, ARC.
Right. And so we put on that site several different videos. I think we've got about 20 some videos on there that show different ways to treat different, you know, how we treat different specific problems in shoulders, backs, necks, and that type of thing. And that way people can get a little bit of an idea of, you know, what to expect from treatment from a health practitioner who's trained in strain counter strain.
Well, I tell you, this has really been interesting, Kevin. I didn't realize, you just don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, thank you. No, that's good. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And it's I've enjoyed having you on as a guest and talking to you about it, because it's something that if a person can get some relief without having to go through a lot of painful things and painful modalities to get that relief, it certainly would make life a little easier, I would think.
Absolutely. No, I appreciate the opportunity to talk a little bit about strain counter strain, because, you know, we're big believers. If we can help our patients avoid surgery, avoid, you know, some of the heavy barbiturate drug use that some of the chronic pain patients end up taking, and get them feeling a little bit better. And some of those people, you know, sometimes just getting them feeling 50% better is a godsend for them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it's, and if we can do it without any kind of invasive technique and do it in a way that's gentle, I'm all for it.
Well, I prefer somebody do a laying of hands on me to help me with some exercise or some strain, counter strain, or whatever it might be, rather than the laying of a knife.
Yeah, I agree, Pete.
Well, Kevin, again, it's been a pleasure having you as a guest. It's all good information. If this is of benefit to you, you certainly can take this program down and put it on your website or whatever you'd like to do with it.
Oh, thank you, Pete.
You're welcome to use it for that. And I'll be getting back in touch with you here very shortly. And again, thanks for joining me today.
You're welcome. My pleasure, Pete. Thank you.
And you've been listening today to the Boomer the Babe Show, where we try to bring good conversation to the world. And today I think we brought some pretty good conversation with Mr. Kevin Cronin, who is involved in strain, counter-strain methodology for relief of pain and relaxing those aching muscles and joints. And he has his practice in Illinois, in the Chicago, Illinois area. So you could look up, probably Google him at Kevin Cronin or ARC, which is his company right there in Illinois. So we'll be back again tomorrow with another Boomer the Babe Show. We have things booked up for the whole month now. We've got a real gold mine of people that are going to be with us. So we hope you'll join us again for that. You can listen to the Boomer the Babe Show every Monday through Friday. You're at 10 o'clock right here on Blog Talk, 10 o'clock Arizona time. Remember, we do more than host this show. Check us out at boomerandthebabe.com. See everything else that makes up the Boomer the Babe Incorporated, including our new online magazine, Boomer Experience Speaks. Be sure to make the second half of your life the best half of your life. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Boomer the Babe Show, where we bring interesting conversation to the world. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, where we tweet as Boomer and Babe, and on Facebook as Pete Peters 47. As always, you can friend us on Blog Talk Radio or sign up for our newsletter at boomerandthebabe.com. Email us at host@boomerthebabe.com with any of your comments. Remember, at 50, you're just getting started.